You know I got it. Come and get it. Who's your daddy? Who's your baby? Who's your buddy? Who's your friend? And who's the one guy that you come running to when your little life starts tumbling?
The lights and the harbor.
The Liberty Lounge. Brought to you every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific Time here on Just Measures Radio Network. Listen to classic country music in the Liberty Lounge to help you end your week on a pleasant note. We'll have sad songs.
I go out walking after midnight.
Happy songs.
I'm the happiest girl in the whole USA.
Patriotic songs. Songs of tragedy.
Two little boys and an old family dog. By the banks of a stream said one day.
Love songs.
Welcome to my world.
And good old honky-tonk music.
I'm a honky-tonk man. And I can't seem to stop.
So join me every Friday night and just let your hair down for a couple of hours here on Liberty Lounge. Does this country remind you of the America that you grew up in? Do your children enjoy the same freedoms that you did when you were young?
Do you think that you can take me on? You must be crazy. There ain't a single thing you've done that's gonna faze me.
Just how far are you willing to be pushed? When are we gonna put our collective foot down and tell the tyrant, get off of my back? Hi, I'm Cope Reynolds, and if you're tired of the same old sugar-coated mush-mouth monologue of talk radio, join me for The Shooting Bench, Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, 10 to midnight Central. Guns, self-defense, survival, current events are just a few of the topics that we'll discuss on The Shooting Bench, and we're going to start discussing them right now.
Have you forgotten?
The views expressed in the following broadcast are not necessarily those of Just Measures Radio or the owners or sponsors thereof. Any and all mention of laws, ordinances, or policies are not to be construed as legal advice or necessarily all-inclusive. The listener bears all responsibility in verifying this information. Be advised that this broadcast may be inflammatory to those with thin skin, lymph wrists, and room temperature IQs. The statements expressed by the host may contain information known to the state of California to inspire free thinking and may promote unexpected growth of testicles and backbone. Listener discretion is advised.
All right, here we are. Welcome to the Tuesday night edition of the Shooting Bench. It's the 8th of April, and things are not looking a whole lot better than they were last night, but we're still alive and kicking, so we'll keep fighting as long as we can here. Got a few things I want to go over here first before we get into the serious stuff. There's Rights at Risk, Mother Earth, Pumpkin Cat. Looks like we're a little meager tonight on our list here. Got three anonymous out there. M. Jance is in there. M. Jance is getting to be quite the regular fixture here. Well, good to see that. Minnie and Kilo and his aviator. All right, good deal. Glad to see there'll be some more trickling in here shortly. I was looking at, I thought it was going to be something very interesting, and turned out to be just something kind of stupid. This was at Portsmouth Barracks in Virginia, Portsmouth, Virginia. The Navy called out here, investigating a situation in Portsmouth Annex today. Involving an active shooter call. Well, it turns out a guy committed suicide, so he's not very active anymore. They hear one gunshot, apparently, and it's an active shooter situation. So, anyway, there's no big earth-shattering news to that story. It just kind of tickled me the way they announced it there. This one, though, Amy talked about this today on her show this morning. And I feel compelled to go ahead and expound on this a little bit tonight. This one actually makes me furious. I'm going to start out in the other main story already in a bad mood here because of this thing going on here. This is a 13-year-old kid, 7th grader, Vernon, New Jersey. Before I read the title, let me go into this a little bit. This kid was a student at Glen Meadow Middle School, and they say that he was twirling his pencil in math class when a rival student who had been bullying him earlier say, hey, he's making gun motions, send him to juvie. That's all it took. That's all it. He was twirling a pencil. And twirling. Now, I don't see how. Amy and I tried this morning. I couldn't figure out any way that you could hold a pistol or move this pencil in any way that would resemble a gun unless you were holding it static, holding it still in your hand and kind of clench it. But, you know, kind of push down on it with your thumb and rest it over your forefinger and kind of point it like that. But that's not twirling. They didn't say he was holding it. They said he was twirling. He's moving it in some kind of way that this kid said, hey, he's making gun motions. Well, first thing, I think he needs to beat that little kid's ass for him is what I think. But apparently that was all the teacher had to have. It sent him immediately to the principal's office. That's all this kid had to say. Sent him to the principal's office, and with no investigation or anything, he was suspended immediately and told he would not be able to return to school until passing a physical and psychological evaluation. You truly have got to be kidding me. Kid said, I was shocked because I'm like, how am I going to go back to school? I didn't even do anything. He was talking to the news right away. And saying that despite telling school officials there that his classmate had been bullying him and was simply attempting to get him in trouble, his comments were ignored. So this bully, if he had been feeling uncomfortable because of this pencil twirling, did the other kid not feel uncomfortable for him bullying him all the time? When the superintendent there was asked about it, he stood by the principal's decision and And this superintendent not only stood by the principal's decision, he insinuated that Ethan could be plotting to violently attack the school. What happened to men? Where's the men here? This little sissy, principal and superintendent here, they're punks. They're babies. They're fools. They're idiots. How do you tell? The guy's twirling a pencil, and you got one little brat there that says he's making gun motions. I don't know how you make gun motions exactly. Maybe racking the bolt, inserting the magazine. I'm not sure what gun motions are. And then the people, he's making plans to violently attack the school for twirling a pencil. You know, I Pumpkin Cat said, "Who doesn't twirl a pencil?" Well, yep, common sense has left the building. This is, Minnie, you're exactly right. You're absolutely right that the powers that be there stood behind the principal, just like the whole department, chief of police, mayor, and everything else stands behind cops when they do something that is blatantly illegal, blatantly a violation of someone's rights, and they figure out a way to justify it. I'm astounded by this. I can't even talk about it. Twirling a pencil. Violently attacked the school. The superintendent said, "We never know what's percolating in the minds of children, and when they demonstrate behaviors that raise red flags, we must do our duty." Oh, give me a break. All that macho crap. Apparently, doing your duty means eliminating individual rights for the good of the collective, as they say. Well, I can't say a whole lot more. Anyway, Ethan's dad was absolutely shocked about how this happened. He says, "I am livid. I think it's gross misconduct at its finest. They took something so minimal and took it so far over the edge." And I tell you what, if that had happened to my kid, well, something similar did happen one time. You guys already know the story. I won't go into it. But this guy, this Ethan's father, is much more much more gentle with his words than I would have been. Now, according to other reports here, Ethan's father says his son's experienced a 5-hour. Now, they did this at school, a 5-hour physical and psychological evaluation. If this psychological evaluation goes on his record, he'll never own a gun until he gets that expunged from his record, thanks to Frank Lautenberg. The child was stripped, had to give blood samples, which caused him to pass out. That's not the first person I've known of. And urine samples for drug testing. 4 hours later, a social worker spoke to him for 5 minutes and cleared him. Then an actual doctor came in and said the state was 100% incorrect in their procedure and this would not get him back in school. So they were incorrect in what they did. They're saying that the school was incorrect. I guess the school didn't like what the social worker said. They cleared him. The doctor came in, cleared him, said the state was wrong, and still wouldn't get him back in school. According to the dad, due to overwhelming media coverage, the school has since scheduled a meeting regarding his son's return for Monday morning. Well, I won't say what I was going to. Unbelievable. Well, let's move on here. You guys can chew on that for a little while, and we'll... In Russia, apparently, they have... it seems that they're going to... Says McDonald's has closed all its restaurant in Crimea. And now it needs to close all restaurants in Russia. This is the leader of the Liberal and Democratic Party of Russia, whatever LDPR. Wants all McDonald's fast food restaurants in Moscow and throughout Russia closed. Story is, after they get that accomplished, then they're going after Pepsi. This is starting, the whole thing starting to sound like two fourth graders bullying each other. The guy said they should get out of the country as soon as possible. Well, thank you very much. He said, we will close them across the country and then proceed to Pepsi. The three McDonald's restaurants whose operation in Crimea had been suspended by the company did not play a significant role in the region's public catering system. The let's see here. Well, that's all. The rest of this is just about, you know, statistics and how much the McDonald's and everything are visited in that area. But no big earth-shattering news there. I think it's just funny that they're taking this direction here. Let's see what we've got. Let me look in the chat room, see what's going on here. You know, why don't people around the nation, if these... I think that the people in the chat room here, I mean, obviously they were attracted to Just Measures Radio Network and the Shooting Bench and Pathfinder and all that, because of the way we think, and they're saying, we say something that appeals to you and is interest you in some way. I can't believe that there's only you know, this little handful of people that thinks like us. And yeah, Punkin Cat, yeah, I'm not opposed to it. If it was up to me, I'd say that every damn American company up there ought to pull out of there. All of them. But I can't believe that there's just a handful of people that listen to these shows, and we have a majority somewhere. Why is it that we have... You know, we talked about this story yesterday. Amy talked about it a little bit yesterday and yesterday morning. And I talked about it quite a bit last night, and that was that lady that, I think I talked about it last night. This is that lady teacher that was asked to resign, get out, because she wouldn't take down her... Maybe that was this morning. Maybe I didn't talk about this. Maybe we'll go into that. Do what? Okay. All right. Well, let me enlighten you with some other wisdom that we had. It was this morning. I didn't talk about it last night. And there was... there is a lady in... Hang on a minute. Let me bring this up here again. What was her first name? Carol. Hang on a minute. Okay. This is along the same lines as what we was just talking about with this 13-year-old kid. There was a lady. Why did this not work? This is making me unhappy. Okay, now we got it. Here it comes. This lady had been teaching for 30-some years. And she had refused to remove, to separate herself from her students on Facebook. Now, she, Kelly, turn that down. She had a, I'm having a hard time thinking here. Okay, I remember now. They had a, another member, another school teacher who used Facebook to do something indecent with kids, and I don't know what all was and what all that involved, but he was convicted and of course was out of school. So because one teacher did that, I guess they assume that all will, or all could. Now, certainly all could. You think that making them get off of it would keep them from getting on under a different name later and harassing these kids or whatever? Well, this lady is, I got on her Facebook page and sent her, I'm trying to get her on Amy's show. I don't know if we'll ever, she says she's getting, you know, just inundated with messages and stuff here. And she says that she uses Facebook every day to stay in contact with her kids, her students. And she helps them, she says, to help with sentence structure. God bless her. That's a new thing there, sentence structure. That's something a lot of people could use. But I wish that I could read this whole thing to you. I'm going to put her Facebook page in the chat room. And when you get time, if you're a Facebooker, get on here and go down to... she starts out this post of what happened here. The first sentence says, I want to take this opportunity to thank those who have posted thousands of comments in support of my stand. Okay, and I want you to remember that, and I want you to read that one. And then there's another one that's much longer, a letter that she wrote to the staff there, and it's entitled An Open Letter to the Superintendent and Administration of Stevens High. It's pretty long, but you need to read both of those if you have access to Facebook. She was told that you will separate yourself from these students on Facebook or you will quit. Resign. Get out. And she said, okay, I'm gone. He said, I cannot and will not in good conscience abandon my kids on Facebook. He said, this is where our class, you know, continues at the end of the day. And we, when they have problems, they come to me. When we were talking about, like I said, sentence structure and stuff a while ago. And she said, I won't do it. After 30-some years, she said, I won't. I'm sorry. I'll walk away. And she did. And writes at risk, does your mother listen to Amy's show? Or she? Oh, your mother called. Okay, I got it. I see what you're saying. Your mother called, and that's why you didn't get to listen to Amy's show. Okay. I understand. This is beyond, way in the hell beyond a lack of common sense. This is one of the, you know, a thousand things that happen out there where you have one person or a very small group of people that will do something, and in order to stop that, you think that you're going to, you know, eliminate everybody from... How am I trying to put you? You try to stop everybody from doing it because one person is screwed up, and that's what happens to our gun rights. You know, it doesn't matter that, 100 million people, 80 million guns today did not kill anybody. It's a matter that one did, and so we're going to take all of them away. And that's exactly what's going on right here. She continues, DeTinker, you got it. She continues her mentoring the students way beyond and on weekends and everything else. And she should get a pat on the back and say, your class. I read a lot of comments from her students on her Facebook page. You know, there is not one single derogatory remark on this page. These kids miss her. They love her, and they come right out and say that they love her. And we miss you and all this stuff. And just over and over, there are hundreds of comments to this from kids. And let's see here... You can go and look at NBC News. Somebody posted a video here of what went on. I haven't had an opportunity to watch that yet. But let me see how many comments there is now. There are 569 likes to this. And I don't know. Okay, 95 comments on this one post. Oh, no, that's... Yeah, that's it. But and most of them are from kids and kids' parents. You know, you're an angel. Miss you. You're amazing. You left a print in my heart for sure. I'm glad to know they covered your story well. Let's see. Anyway, you're an inspiration to so many. Stay strong, and I love you. And that's all there is, all down through here. And they gave her an ultimatum: get off Facebook, or resign. Yeah, I don't know about y'all, but this really, really doesn't set well with me. You have to be very careful, very, very careful what you say and what you do nowadays concerning stuff like this. But you know what? I don't get it. You know, people claim, oh, I'm a patriot. I love America, and I, you know, it's the greatest country in the world and all that. Well, as the thing says, it's not the greatest country in the world. I'm thinking that this has been surpassed, not just the soundbite that I have, which I think I'll play at the next break. It's beyond that, and we're not... All we do is sit and bitch. You know, there's a few letters being written, and a few odds and ends of things that... But it's not getting anywhere. It's not doing anything. You know, it's getting to a point where I am getting so absolutely frustrated with this. It just drives me nuts. And I would hope that I'm hoping that I'm not the only one that sees this, or that is offended, deeply, deeply offended by this. But anyway, we'll take a break here. I won't play that again. We'll take a break and think about this a little bit. And move that out of the way and shorten it up a little. There we go.
I'll be back.
Do
Join us every Sunday for the Medic Shack.
The Emperor has been expecting you.
With your host, Chuck Hudson.
You know what the chain of command is? It's a chain I go get and beat you with till you understand who's in rookie command.
Cat Ellis.
You're having far too much fun at my expense.
And our producer, Jacob Hudson.
Who is this genius?
Sundays, 7 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern, on the Just Measured Radio Network.
Can you say why America is the greatest country in the world?
Diversity and opportunity.
Lewis? Freedom and freedom. So let's keep it that way.
Well, why is America
not the greatest country in the world, Professor? That's my answer.
You're saying
yes.
Let's talk about...
Fine.
Sharon, the NEA is a loser. Yeah, it accounts for a penny out of her paycheck, but he gets to hit you with it any time he wants. It doesn't cost money. It costs votes. It costs airtime and column inches. You know why people don't like liberals? Because they lose. If liberals are so fucking smart, how come they lose so damn always?
Hey.
And with a straight face, you're going to tell students that America is so star-spangled awesome that we're the only ones in the world who have freedom? Canada has freedom. Japan has freedom. The UK, France, Italy, Germany, Spain, Australia, Belgium has freedom. So 207 sovereign states in the world, like 180 of them have freedom.
All right.
And yeah, you, sorority girl, just in case you accidentally wander into a voting booth one day, there's some things you should know. And one of them is there is absolutely no evidence to support the statement that we're the greatest country in the world. We're 7th in literacy, 27th in math, 22nd in science, 49th in life expectancy, 178th in infant mortality, 3rd in median household income, number 4 in labor force, and number 4 in exports. We lead the world in only 3 categories. Number of incarcerated citizens per capita, number of adults who believe angels are real, and defense spending, where we spend more than the next 26 countries combined, 25 of whom are allies. Now, none of this is the fault of a 20-year-old college student, but you nonetheless are, without a doubt, a member of the worst period, generation, period, ever, period. So when you ask what makes us the greatest country in the world, I don't know what the f*** you're talking about. Yosemite? Sure used to be. We stood up for what was right. We fought for moral reasons. We passed laws, struck down laws for moral reasons. We waged wars on poverty, not poor people. We sacrificed. We cared about our neighbors. We put our money where our mouths were, and we never beat our chest. We built great big things, made ungodly technological advances, explored the universe, cured diseases, and we cultivated the world's greatest artists and the world's greatest economy. We reached for the stars, acted like men. We aspired to intelligence. We didn't belittle it. It didn't make us feel inferior. We didn't identify ourselves by who we voted for in the last election, and we didn't scare so easy. We were able to be all these things and do all these things because we were informed by great men, men who were revered. First step in solving any problem is recognizing there is one. America is not the greatest country in the world anymore.
Hi, this is Amy Reynolds inviting you to come see what it's like living way out here, new on Just Measured Radio. We'll talk about cooking, canning, gardening, and homemaking, along with storytelling and nostalgic journeys to yesteryear.
Join Amy every Monday through Thursday morning right here on Just Measured Radio Network for Living Way Out Here, 8 to 9 a.m. Pacific, 10 to 11 Central. Don't miss it.
And what I wouldn't give to ride in that old truck with him. If heaven wasn't so far away, I'd pack up the kids and go for the day, introducing to their grandpa.
Come.
Come.
Okay, are you ready? Here's Corp Reynolds with another maximum dose of truth and common sense on the shooting bench, here on Just Measures Radio.
They say heaven's at the end, but so far it's been hell, and there's fire on the mountain, lying in the air, rolling them hills, and it's waiting for me
back. Sorry about that. We had a little thing going on I had to take care of there. Alright, here we go. Right there, Edge of the Woods. You know, I ponder on this long and hard, this kind of stuff. And I'm wondering why or if there are similar thought processes going on around the country, especially here in the West. But let's go on to the bigger news right now. I've got so many things right now, but here is you guys may have heard of Jan Morgan. Jan Morgan is a she's got all of her credentials here. She's nationally recognized Second Amendment advocate and speaker, NRA certified firearms instructor, Associate Press Award winning investigative journalist, owner and editor of Jan Morgan, blah, 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 blah. And up until today, I thought she was pretty good. But I'm thinking maybe not so much now. You know, Pumpkin Cat, I couldn't disagree more. I think that's exactly what they want. I think these small skirmishes are, there's so many of them, and they are accomplishing exactly what they want to, and we are letting them. Who's to say when and where the true battle is? Yeah, not too late. I have said that very thing. I think you've listened to me long enough. You remember when Wesley got in trouble for, you know, fighting, and the teacher said violence doesn't solve anything. I said it damn sure does. And friend of Chris Kyle, Ryan Job or Job, said despite what your mama told you, violence does solve problems. This is true. If 200 armed agents show up to steal your cattle backed up by armored vehicles and helicopter gunships, how many armed citizens will it take showing up to put a stop to it to make an impression? What would be the result if that happened? That's what I want to know. That's exactly. They say there's hundreds of protesters. Are these protesters armed? How serious are they about protesting? Anyway, let's get back here to Jan Morgan. Some of you have probably heard of her. Up until today, I thought she was okay, but I'm not so sure now. I think she's very misguided. Let me read you this. It's not very long. It won't take too long. She said, I watch as patriots who are fed. I now just make sure that nobody misunderstands me while I'm reading this. This is not me saying it. This is Jan Morgan. She said, I watch as patriots who are fed up with the strong arm of the federal government fuel the flames of anger and egg each other on to call in the militias for a stand down with the feds over a cattle rancher who has threatened violence if they take his cows. So, first paragraph, first sentence, she's already starting to blame the rancher. She said, I watch as patriots begin to divide the base, which is what this government wants. Divide the base, which is what this government wants, by claiming that people who do not rush to the aid of this rancher pledging gun battle with the feds are not real patriots. Let me read that one again. I watch as patriots begin to divide the base, which is what this government wants, by claiming that people who do not rush to the aid of this rancher pledging gun battle with the feds are not real patriots. I suggest, again, this is Jan Morgan speaking, I suggest that these trigger-happy so-called patriots egging on the fight are the real liabilities to the conservative movement. Deciding that this case is the draw-your-line-in-the-sand case of us versus them is like straining on gnats while swallowing camels. The abusive federal government and level of corruption at the federal level is so rampant, there are much larger battlefronts to be addressed than this case in Nevada. That doesn't make any sense to me. Listen, the abusive federal government and level of corruption at the federal level is so rampant, there are much larger battlefronts to be addressed than this case in Nevada. So what would you suggest that we do, sweet cheeks? Are we going to gather up, you know, 30, 40 people? Are we going to go into Washington, D.C. and go where the root of this federal corruption is? Or should it start at smaller levels and work its way towards and hope that at some point people start coming to their senses and realizing that the Constitution is a very good thing? She says, your assessment that real patriots will rush to the aid of Bundy and that fake patriots are backing down out of fear is the kind of statement that divides our base, and it really begs the question, if you are a real patriot, why are you here on Facebook egging on the fight and not in Nevada fighting against the federal government for Bundy? Well, there's two points here. One, yes, there are a lot of people sitting on Facebook egging it on and have no intention to do anything. Two, there are people out there testing the waters and seeing what kind of support they can garner for a fight, whether it's this fight or the next one, or just getting an idea of what's going on. There are also probably, I would suggest, a number of agent provocateurs out there trying to egg people into something prematurely. So, yes, you have to choose carefully. No, you do not have to wait until we're, you know, till the big one, as they say. Jan Morgan says, the fact is, some of us real patriots choose our fights wisely. The real battle to be won, which is much larger than this individual case, it is the battle over states' rights and state sovereignty. Okay, I can somewhat agree with that. But individual cases are what leads to this. You can't take on the states' rights and state sovereignty. This is a problem that is based at the federal level, at the highest federal level. We're not going to go in and get there's nothing that you can say or do. There's no amount of voting or petitions to sign that's going to get that corrected. It just ain't. Jan Morgan goes on to say this rancher is in the predicament he is in because of his own threats and his failure to pay grazing fees, as well as a failure to use the decades the government has given him to rally the troops at the state level and gather an army to fight for and demand the state's leaders stand up for states' rights. Okay, she's partially correct there. His own threats were nothing more than response to the threats that were leveled at him. Failure to pay grazing fees. So let me understand this. This guy has been there well over 140 years. He's been on this property. Way before BLM was ever thought of. And how is it that you just create an organization, an agency, and then you come in and start taking everybody's stuff over? There's squatters' rights. Now, squatters' rights have changed, but according to a little bit of research there, that the state of Nevada has those squatters' rights if your family has been there over 100 years. And his family has founded that ranch and has been there, and his family, his dad and his dad's dad and everybody for 140 years. This goes way back. And let me see, let me find my spot here. She said this rancher is in a predicament because of his own threats and failure to pay grazing fees. Grazing fees are a lot like extortion, I think, is what grazing fees are. When you come in and say, here, I am now with this brand new agency, and I know you've been here, you know, for 90 years before we were born, but we want you to start paying us now because it's ours. We say it's ours. We want money. As well as use the decades the government... Well, decades is, I guess, if you want to call two, you know, decades make it sound like it's, you know, long, long, long time. It's been a little over 20 years, so, you know, two decades. Trouble started when he stopped paying grazing fees in 1993. Evidently, he woke up and said, wait, whoa, whoa, whoa. Stop. Let me think about this. I'm not going to do this anymore. He said he didn't have to because his Mormon ancestors worked the land since the 1880s, giving him the rights to the land. Well, squatters' rights, according to what I've found out in Nevada, that is the case, if they've been there over 100 years. So, and Jan Morgan goes on to say, now this is about stupid. She says, well, suppose since my ancestors are Cherokee Indian, which she didn't capitalize either of those, and they should have been, I claim I can live where I want to, run my horses on any land I choose, claiming it's my ancestors, so I am entitled yet can't produce any records showing I have paid for this land and the rights to use it. What if every Indian in this country did this? The fight involves a 600,000-acre area under BLM control called Gold Butte near the Utah border. The vast and rugged land is the habitat of the protected desert tortoise, and the land has been off-limits for cattle since 1998. That's what I'm asking. Who comes in and decides that this is off-limits? The tortoises have gotten along with cows for, you know, how many hundred years before, and all of a sudden it's a bad thing? Said 5 years before that, when grazing was legal, Bundy stopped paying federal fees for the right. For more than two decades, Bundy's cattle have grazed illegally on public lands. All right, now evidently Jan Morgan doesn't understand that the Constitution allows for the federal government to have 10 square miles of land that they're... Every national forest and every acre of BLM land and all this stuff is not in accordance with the Constitution, and is my understanding of it. Their 10 square miles is Washington, D.C. So she is giving them credence by saying that they are illegally grazing on public lands. Said the feds have made repeated attempts to resolve this matter administratively and judicially. Impoundment of cattle illegally grazing on public land is an option of last resort. Since Bundy has threatened violence, the feds have no choice but to call in law enforcement to prepare for those threats. Is their response over the top, she says. Isn't the federal government always over the top regarding the bullying of citizens? It's only a third of the citizens. If only a third of the citizens threatening to show up with arms to defend Bundy actually come on the scene, the feds have better have armed agents prepared to defend themselves. To do less would be foolish. Well, I have to agree with that from their standpoint. If you're not going to come, if we did actually have somebody up there that decided to move in there and try to do something, if they were going to defend themselves, I'm sure they should probably be armed. I think her numbers are off. If only a third of the citizens threatening to show up with arms to defend them actually come on the scene, well, number one, I don't think she has any earthly idea how many would come there. Number two, the whole thing is a moot point. There's no way to tell, because if a third of them showed up, we don't even know how many. The second point there is completely moot, because we don't have any idea what a third of them is. She said, I believe, rather than rushing to Bundy's side with your gun screaming at the top of your lungs in protest at the feds, looking like hot-headed, emotionally out-of-control, hair-trigger idiots that the libs excuse us for being, why not take your efforts to the real battlefront on this issue? States' rights and state sovereignty. Okay, I agree. I'm with you on that. But this... let me just finish what she says here. The battle of states' rights is much larger than this one case. Yes, of course it is. But you have to start somewhere. You either take a handful of armed patriots to a small engagement somewhere, or you try to find oodles and gobs of armed patriots to go to a larger venue. The solution is making sure that the governors... This is her speaking again, not me. The solution is making sure that the governors of your respective states understand state sovereignty and states' rights and have the balls to take a stand against the federal government on all issues related to the rights of the citizens in their states, and begin to represent the citizens to the federal government rather than representing the federal government to the citizens. Okay, great statement. I agree with that. I do agree with that. But, you know, honey, I'm sorry, but the all the petition signing and voting and rallies, all that stuff's about done. She said, I'm all for standing up to the rights of citizens. I have proven to patriots when I produced the documentary Rampant Injustice that I was not afraid to take on the Justice Department and the Criminal Investigation Division of the IRS. However, I was convinced that the citizens involved who were subjected to the abusive Gestapo tactics of the Fed had in no way threatened violence, and therefore it is not necessary to raid those mom-and-pop businesses with armed agents. In this case, Bundy's threat of violence is the reason agents are armed to remove his cattle. They would be crazy not to. you know, I think this is the difference between people in the West, or some people in the West, and generally the difference in people in the East, maybe. When you get to a point where you are threatened, people are threatening to illegally remove you from your land and confiscate your property, what do you say? Oh, well, Monday morning I'm going to run down the courthouse and we're going to file an injunction. We're going to they've been trying to do this for 20 years. He's finished. He's done. He's tired of messing with it. He's prepared to be killed. The She says, I come to the aid of law-abiding citizens. If you don't like the laws governing you, gun rights battle in Connecticut, then you do what the folks in Colorado did. You remove the lawmakers who are attempting to strip you of your rights, and you elect people who understand and abide by the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, then change the laws. Yeah, we've been trying to do that for generations. Sweetheart, it just won't work. It just won't. Even when we win, sometimes we lose. She said, I believe in... Now, this is about a dumb statement. She said, I believe in fighting like our founders. You fight smart. You pick your battles wisely and be sure when you decide to take a stand that the ground you stand on is completely defensible and sound. You know, when George Washington fought in... What was that island, that peninsula that he was... Anyway, his stand right there was absolutely not completely defensible and certainly not sound. He got out of that because God was on our side. And if you think anything otherwise, you're nuts. He picked a... I know the whole history of it, but there was no way that he could have escaped that. It was a bad choice. But ultimately, when it was all said and done, we won. Did he pick his battle wisely? No. In this case, she says, we have a citizen who is threatening violence over land that he cannot prove is his and that he has not paid grazing fees for in years. Well, when you squat on something like that for over 100 years, all you need to do is find somebody probably that said, yeah, they have been there a long time. How do you don't get, papers from the state saying, okay, well, you've squatted on this for 140 years. I guess we'll just give it to you. I'm not sure exactly what the legal ramifications there are, but she says, I am willing to die on the mountain for my country, but this one is not on the mountain. We have much bigger battles that are clear-cut cases than this, just this one, than this one case. How about citizens in all states use this case as a wake-up call and get on the ball regarding leadership in their respective states standing for states' rights? This battle begins in your own state with your own leaders before federal overreach becomes an issue. That's the whole problem. Federal overreach became an issue long, long, long time ago. She said, I have endorsed a man to be the next governor of my home state who has already formed a coalition of governors of southern states who will come together to stand against the federal government on all issues regarding states' rights and representing the citizens of the state to the federal government rather than representing the federal government to the citizens. We'll see how that plays out. We've had our share of governors promising stuff, and then the moment they get a little bit of clout there, as soon as they get elected or as soon as they get what they want, then all that goes away. She said, stop falling into the government trap of divided base and excuse for martial law. Going off half-cocked is how you shoot yourself in the foot. Well, I don't know about you guys, but I am not completely in alignment with Miss, what's her name here? Jan Morgan. Sorry, but I ain't there. All right. Well, here we go. We'll be back in about 6 minutes.
To me. Who the hell are you? You know. You all know exactly who I am. Say my name.
You what? I don't have a damn clue who the hell you are.
Yeah, you do.
That's right.
Now,
say my name.
John Galt on the Teotihuacan Radio Show, live Friday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern, only on the Just Measures Radio Network.
Enemy is approaching fast, requesting orders. General, what should we do?
There's no response from command. Or from party leader Creedy. Or from the High Chancellor.
Why are you doing this?
Because he was right.
About what?
That this country needs more than a building right now. Needs hope.
Those who make peaceful revolution impossible will make violent revolution inevitable. Inevitable.
People should not be afraid of their governments. Governments should be afraid of their people.
Is it common sense to allow your activist judges to ignore your history, your culture, your Declaration of Independence, and every other founding document to remove God from public life? And endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights, their creator, not the ACLU, not the will of the atheist, or the anti-Americans that sit on the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals in San Francisco. Separation of church and state, yes. Separation of God from public life, never intended by your founding fathers. Is it common sense that the very political party who claims to be the party of the people and shouts, "We will bring change," consistently stops all common sense legislation to secure your borders, establish workplace verification, and stop taxpayer money for illegals? They call themselves progressive global thinkers. We had another word for them in 1776. We call them traitors. This happened all once before. 232 years ago, it led to revolution and thousands of dead in the streets. It will happen again unless you take back America now.
I hope we have once again reminded people that man is not free unless government is limited. There's a clear cause and effect here that is as neat and predictable as a law of physics. As government expands, liberty contracts.
From my cold, dead hands.
Only an aroused citizenry will turn this uncommon sense around. And he or she who does nothing now is helping them to destroy America. My name is Thomas Paine, and I approve of this message. I only hope to God you will too.
Colonized America, we won't stand for tyranny. Oh, he. And it's too late to apologize. It's too late. I said it's too late to apologize. It's too late.
Dad stands in the corner with the barrels so straight. I look out the window and over the gate. The big fat rabbits are jumping in the grass. Wait till they hear my old shotgun blast. Shotgun boogie.
Hi, I'm Coke Reynolds, inviting you to join me for the Shooting Bench PM, the evening edition. The Shooting Bench PM is your source for all things guns. Guns, hunting, reloading, firearms training, competition, and a host of other firearms-related topics.
Look out, bushy tail. Tonight you'll be in the pond. Gun boogie draws a beat so fine. Look out, big boy, he's loaded all the time.
The Shooting Bench PM does not include news or politics unless it is directly related to your gun rights. Thursday evenings from 9 to 11 p.m. Mountain Time, right here on Just Measures Radio Network.
I'll be back, little gal, when your pappy runs out of shells.
Mm-hmm.
join me in the Tinker Shop Saturday evenings, 9 p.m. on JMR. Remember, we all are the library for those who come after us.
It was over in a moment and the folks had gathered round. There before them lay the body of the outlaw on the ground. Oh, he might have went on living, but he made one fatal slip when he tried to match the ranger with the big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip. Big iron.
But anyway, be that as it may, we're back, and we'll get on with it here. So here's what was going on with this Nevada rancher. The guy has, they say he's threatening war. Well, what about the feds? Are they not threatening war? I think this, well, we'll see what happens here. I know what I feel like needs to be done. We'll see how it works. But let's keep all that in mind for a few minutes, and let's go to Colorado. Breckenridge, Colorado. There's a guy there, a couple, Andy and Seal, Barry. B-A-R-R-I-E, I guess that's Barry. Hold on a second. So, Andy Berry says they're spending us to death. He's not talking about property taxes or inflation or skiing or anything like that. He lives up on a mountain in Colorado. He's talking about the legal fight they've been in to save this little piece of property from being taken over by the county. Through what? Eminent domain. Yeah, eminent domain is what makes it where counties and cities and states and stuff can legally steal your land and you have nothing to say about it. That's what eminent domain is. It's legal theft by the government. Now, listen to how all this came about. This is as the story says, this is definitely a test of private property rights. There is no highway going through here. There is no skyscraper about to be built. There is no safety issues or anything like that. No nothing. They just live there. And these they're using eminent domain to go after this simply because they want the open land. And the Berries don't want to give it up. It's theirs. Andy Berry said, everyone has a special place where they really like to go. And when we came up here the first time, we said, this is our heaven. This is a special place. 2 years ago, they bought two pieces of land, a house in an established subdivision, and another piece of property at a higher elevation, accessible by an old mining road. The isolated area up there is surrounded by over 2 million acres of the White River National Forest. It's a small, and I've seen some of these like this in Wyoming. Actually, they're everywhere. There's some in New Mexico and some here, I'm sure. But it's an island, actually, of private property. It includes an old mining cabin, an outhouse, and a boarded-up gold mine. And the trouble started when the Forest Service took him to task for using a utility vehicle to drive from their main residence to their cabin. They say they never went off-road and petitioned for the path to be declared a county road. The county, though, responded by trying to buy the property in order to protect it and preserve it as open space. like there's not enough open space in Colorado already. The Berries never had any plans to develop it and didn't want to sell. That's when the county pulled their eminent domain trump card. Unbeknownst to the Berries, the previous owner had remodeled the cabin without permits. So the county commissioners voted to condemn the property for wiring and plumbing. Except the cabin has no wiring or plumbing. So aside from that, then they filed for eminent domain. The lady said, I understand that we're all trying to save these beautiful mountains and make them accessible to everyone, but you know that property has been sitting there since President Garfield signed our land patent. We're not doing anything bad there. Last week, the two sides participated in required formal mediation with a judge. Summit County, which refused interview requests, released a statement saying both parties engaged in productive negotiations in pursuit of a voluntary settlement regarding the purchase. We are optimistic that a resolution may be reached within a matter of weeks, if not days. Well, they're getting a little downhearted. Their hopes are getting dim. They asked them if recent mediation pointed to a way for the Berries to keep the land in the family name and avoid eminent domain. He said, nope, they're going to take it. So they're concerned that should Summit County seize control of their 10-acre land, that the county was just going to trade it to the Forest Service for more valuable land closer to town. He said they do this basically screw their citizens all the time. Sooner or later, we're going to run out of money, but we wanted to fight the good fight and let people know our story of what the government is up to. Fox News checked the White River National Forest Division of the U.S. Forest Service about the Berries case. A spokesman said in an email, in case of this or any ongoing legal matter, including eminent domain petitions with any federal, state, county, or local government, the Forest Service will not be issuing any statement during such legal proceedings. So far, the family or the couple has spent over $75,000 fighting this, and the mediation judge recently advised them that the financial figure could easily double in the coming months. The man said, I even promised my daughter she could get married up here. Now all that's going to be gone. So, what do you think? They're just taking stuff as they want, as they see fit. There is no reason whatsoever to take this land from these people. If there was a problem with permits and a remodeling at an earlier date, then, you know, tell them to tear the house down and start over. Or, you know, have it inspected and see what it, because number one, that was the previous owner, not this one. Rights at risk, yeah, you're right. It's one or the other, I'm certain. Agenda 21 issue or corporate interest, possibly. If the house was built, was remodeled without permits, what does that have to do with the land? If you condemn the house, that means you have to tear it down or remodel it, rebuild it with permits or whatever. They could rebuild it and have a... it sounds like what they didn't do was make sure that they had guaranteed access before they moved in there and bought the place. There's a place up in... Oh no, this is just the opposite. I was going to say there's one up in Wyoming like that, but it's the opposite. It's a little piece of Forest Service land, completely surrounded by private land, and no possible way to get to it without going on private land except by helicopter. Prime hunting land up there. Actually, there's a road that goes up there. But the landowners refuse to let anybody go up there. There's been lots of problems, lots of serious trouble up there because of that. And this guy is keeping this pristine hunting area here for his own use. And they have fought with fought with the county and the Forest Service and everybody over the roads and everything like this, and the guy keeps winning. And if I had stayed there and had had the means, what I wanted to do was I wanted to hire a helicopter to take us in there with all of our goodies, enough to stay for a couple of weeks, and then have them come get us and haul us out of there. Never did get around to doing that. I always wanted to. But, you know, there's another issue that came up, and I just spotted this just before the show tonight, and I haven't had a chance to research it yet. But it appears in this Nevada thing with the Nevada rancher, it appears that there's a great big DOD site right next to, almost bordering this land, or maybe it is bordering it. And I'm wondering if there's not another issue there with this DOD site. See if they're not trying to expand that into God knows what. So that's a possibility, I reckon. I'm not going to take a break at the bottom of the hour. We took a long enough break there a while ago, so we'll just keep moving along here. So there's my two, three, four biggest problems tonight. We have a 13-year-old, a seventh grader, that has had to give blood and take a psychiatric and physical evaluation for twirling a pencil. I am still totally in the dark about that one. We have a faithful, very loved and appreciated school teacher who has been forced to resign because she won't disassociate herself with her children or with her students on Facebook because of the acts of one other teacher in this school years previous. We have a rancher in Nevada who is prepared to do battle with the feds, and I think he has every right. I think he needs some help. And we have a couple in Colorado who's getting their land taken out from under them, stolen legally by the government, because why? We don't know why. They want the land, the county wants the land, and they are making up the rules as they go along to try to get it from them. So there's our highlights of my worst fears right now. Let's go. I haven't heard from Carol yet. I left a message for her. Hopefully I'll hear something from her pretty soon. But here is something I haven't verified these facts, although some of them I am confident are true. Let me read you a little deal here. You may have seen this. During the 3.5 years of World War II that started with the Japanese bombing of Pearl Harbor in December 1941 and ended with the surrender of Germany and Japan in 1945, the U.S. produced 22 aircraft carriers, 8 battleships, 48 cruisers, 349 destroyers, 420 destroyer escorts, 203 submarines, 34 million tons of merchant ships, 100,000 fighter aircraft, 98,000 bombers, 24,000 transport aircraft, 58,000 training aircraft, 93,000 tanks, 257,000 artillery pieces, 105,000 mortars, 3 million machine guns, and 2.5 million military trucks. We put 16.1 million men in uniform in the various armed forces, invaded Africa, invaded Sicily and Italy, won the battle for the Atlantic, planned and executed D-Day, marched across the Pacific and Europe, developed the atomic bomb, and ultimately conquered Japan and Germany. It's worth noting that during the almost exact same time period, the Obama administration couldn't build a functioning website. Well, I think that's funny. And it's true. Other than that, there has been no benefit, no useful thing, no legacy, no nothing that Obama's done. The whole damn bunch of them have done. I saw where Eric Holder's wanting to have identification bracelets, some kind of bracelet, ring, watch type deals for all gun owners to wear. That and I don't know what the specifics are on this, how he expects to what this is going to do to help. But at any rate, it was stupid. But considering the source, I guess, let's see. The rights at risk, yes, ma'am. You better believe elk ranches are a moneymaker. You better believe it. All right, let me get back over here to my... I got to change pages here again. Yeah, I know the Tinker he's talking about for a smart gun. I realize that, but how is he planning on every gun owner doing this? Because unless they come up with some type of technology to apply that technology to an existing gun, then all they can do is say, well, any gun from here on out, we want this to happen. But he's just saying all gun owners, period. He's not saying smart guns. He's wanting a smart bracelet or something. I haven't figured out just exactly what he's planning on doing about that. But we will spend some time on this, get deeply involved on Thursday night. Now then, this is both gun-related and political. We have a congresswoman here, an anti-gun congresswoman, who is the absolute epitome of ignorance. I can't imagine how bad of an embarrassment Leland Yee, former Senator Yee, his involvement in gun trafficking and everything, being a rabid anti-gunner. I can't imagine how embarrassing it must have been for the Democrats, for the anti-gun people, for the liberal crowd, for this to have happened. Well, you know that they have to try to make do the best they can here. So what they've done, this woman, Jackie Speier, Pennsylvania, is taking advantage of this and turning this around. She is still calling on Obama to ban the import of assault weapons following this deal with Senator Yee. And the... let's see. She says the FBI investigation of Leland Yee reveals just how easy it is to import lethal assault weapons that were previously banned. This case should be a warning to all of us that even the most trusted appearing among us are ready to do real harm. Since Congress can pass no meaningful gun control laws, even after the mass killing in Newtown, President Obama should use his pen to slow the import of these weapons, which have no place in our homes. So even though, I have no words, I don't know. Now, let's see what Senator Yee has done exactly. He is accused of smuggling or plotting to smuggle fully automatic rifles, missiles, and artillery. There was no mention of assault weapons, no mention of anything semi-automatic, only fully automatic missiles and artillery. So where's the beef? Where's the logic with this? Stand by to say, I promise I'm not leaving for very long, but I need just a few seconds here. I've got to take care of something real quickly, so let me see. Let me find something real short here. How about this? This is just a minute, and I'll be right back.
It's both ways.
I stab people.
I know I'd be there with her yet if I hadn't used the knife.
But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life.
And a cousin was dumb. The only part that wasn't bloody was the soles of the big man's feet. And he was hunting about 100 places.
He's got a knife.
That's not a knife. That's a knife.
Chop, chop, chop. If I miss the spaces in between, my fingers will come off. And if I hit my fingers, blood will soon come out. But all the same, I play this game because that's what it's all about.
All right, we're back. And just had to make sure Wes was up and get ready for work here. And Mountain Shooter, you're exactly right. They will eat their own to get good. They'll do anything in the world to get this passed, including throwing their own people under the bus. Throwing them under the bus and making sure the bus is moving and that they cannot get out from under it. Unbelievable. Astounding to me what's going on. So let's completely change gears here for a minute. No, let's don't. Let's go back to one more thing here real quick, and then we got to change gears a little bit. There is a... Whoops, wrong one. Sorry. Sorry, Charlie. Okay, here we go. Now we got it. A mother here, a Fort Hood mother, a mother of a Fort Hood victim, is asking, why is it that I am better armed than my son? Her son is a soldier in Fort Hood. And on April 6th, day before yesterday, this gal said concealed carry allows her to be better armed than her son, who was 100 feet away from the Fort Hood shooter on April 2nd. Now, evidently, maybe he didn't get shot, but nevertheless, it still begs the same question. She's asking Congress to change this. She said that the military personnel defend us overseas, but they're defenseless when they come home. Defenseless at military bases. She said they're trained. They know the rules of engagement. We send them off to war. They have their guns. They come home, and then they have their guns are taken away from them on their home bases. She said every member of her family carries a concealed weapon for self-defense, except her son, who is in harm's way by virtue of him being in the military. She said, I think we should have a dialogue to find out why and where we can improve. I think we need to have a defense where you have at least two officers that can be armed in all buildings on all military installations. Well, I think that's a very minimal, but yeah, I agree. At least that. Okay, and I gotta grab a couple of stories here because this is changing gears, but we have some very strange things going on here. In one, Let's see here. Stand by. In one, we have a woman who is suing McDonald's, blaming the company for turning her into a prostitute. Yeah, I said that. she said that her supervisor or something had for a long time tried to convince her to go and be a legal prostitute. Finally, she had so many bills and everything going up that I guess she, over a period of time, she finally gave in. And now she has went and got her very own lawyer and is going about trying to sue McDonald's for forcing her into this situation. Well, I have a lot of problems with this. Number one, it wasn't... it doesn't make any difference. That's not something that you just agree to do and then sue somebody later because you agreed to do it. You're a big girl. You didn't have to do it. If you were threatened by somebody with bodily harm and forced into it that way, that is a little bit different. But just to say, okay, well, I give in. You kept at it long enough. I guess that's what I'm going to have to go do. Well, that's not the same. But you know, I found that to be kind of funny that somebody would undertake such a thing and then go and try to sue somebody for it. Anyway, we're having a little bit of problem here getting these things to open up. I'm not sure what's going on. There it goes. Now we got it. Let's try that again. That worked so good that time. Yeah, outstanding. Okay, here we go. Let me see. Let me get the story. I couldn't get that to come up, so I was kind of getting through it the best I could, remembering what I had read today. In 1982, this gal worked the counter of a McDonald's in Arroyo Grande, California. In 1985, she started dating a franchise manager whose company owned McDonald's franchises. Shortly after that, I guess they became an item together. And she claims that her boyfriend there had her terminated for no apparent reason. At the time they started dating, he ordered one of his managers to terminate the girl for insubordination, which was not true. But evidently he had her fired, knowing that she would get into financial problems, and he wanted her to become a legal prostitute in Nevada. They were in California, but he wanted her to go to Nevada and do this. So he started pressuring her to do this almost daily, arguing that every day she needed to become go and do that. He said it was no big deal to engage in that kind of activity to make money. She said she'd lose her home and everything else and that she had, and that was true. Well, it was only true because she let it happen. But anyway, he finally won out. In 1986, she started working at the Chicken Ranch in Pahrump, Nevada, where she became a top booker. And they were married in 1988, which I'm thinking maybe I could find a... Not sure I'd want to marry somebody in that profession. Matter of fact, I'm pretty sure I wouldn't. But they divorced later. Surprise, surprise. So here we are 30 years later. And after she first started working in the fast food place, and she's suing the ex-husband and McDonald's because she says the company lacked an adequate grievance policy for false firings. Well, there you go. According to her, McDonald's failed to conduct due diligence in the moral character of the manager when it sold franchises to him. She said McDonald's failed to properly supervise and train him, as a direct result of which he used his position as an employer and conspired with his corporation to coerce and bribe two other employees to make false statements against the girl during his dissolution and suppress relevant evidence that he had disclosed about himself. So there you go. All right. Well, speaking of McDonald's, here is not really related to the last one, except it happened in McDonald's. There's a half-naked woman went nuts in McDonald's, completely tore it up, destroyed it. She said that said it's what the details are exactly is unclear. But the unidentified woman has seen the video send in registers and equipment crashed into the ground. People in the background can be heard, you know, narrating it as it goes along. She was bare-chested, nothing but her underwear, and they blurred the upper part and left the bottom part the way it was, although there wasn't much there to much covering up anything. And while all this was going on, she got all done here, and probably one of the most bizarre things she did was she stuck her head under the ice cream machine at the end of her rampage there, and pulled the handle and got her fill of ice cream. So there you go. They thought this happened in Florida. They're not sure. They think it may have been in St. Petersburg, but any calls to the police there have not been able to see that that is... not been able to prove that yet. And here's another one. This happened in a Kohl's store, and I believe this one was also in Florida. She was trying on some clothes, and apparently she caught a peeping Tom videotaping her with his cell phone through a gap in the wall of the dressing room. And rather than freezing in horror and trying to cover up and wondering what to do, she was topless, but she jumped out and started chasing the man. And she followed him along, shouting, "Help, stop, help me." See, I just screamed and chased him topless through the store. I knew I shouldn't be chasing someone. I was just enraged. I was at the store in a very private place, and I was enraged, and I wanted to get the phone. Once she got to the front doors of the store, she finally stopped as common sense took over. However, brave bystanders finished the job for her, and the suspect was reportedly nabbed about 3 blocks away from the store. Suspect was arrested and charged with misdemeanor breach of privacy. He faces up to a year in jail and a fine of $2,500. And the guy in the mugshot is grinning. I'm not sure why all that took place, but anyway, that was weird stuff going on, guys. You know what else is weird? Why do we only have this minimal amount of folks in the chat room tonight? We got less than half, or about half, of what we normally do. What did I? I know what it is. I know what it is. It's because we're out of water and I didn't get to bathe this morning. I think that's what it is. All right, well, I promise I'll take a bath tomorrow so you guys can, all of you, join us here. Well, hopefully we'll get all the water running. Amy's in there doing her best. We had 3 people in the house try to take a bath and didn't quite make it. Got all soaked up and everything and didn't get to finish. And I'll have to say that Amy was not all that impressed that happened. But anyway, hang in. Hold on just a second, guys.
Good night, sweetie. Have a good night. Say your prayers, okay?
All right. The now, me, on the other hand, I got lucky. No, I mean, before that. Well, it wasn't a matter of just cold showers. You couldn't get any water at all. So, but anyhow, I went in there and I managed to, of course, not having the tremendous head of hair that Amy does, I was able to get done pretty quickly. It only takes me about 10 minutes anyway. So I hustled right along and got through it. And I managed, to get a whole bath. I just had to, or shower, just had to really hustle. Well, anyway, be that as it may, I'm going to sneak on out of here now. We got things to do, places to go, and people to see. So if you all will forgive me for sneaking out of here early, we'll be back in the morning with Amy's show. Be sure and join us. And what else we got going? 14th, next Monday. Don't forget to join us for the world's most leading, foremost authority on nullification and jurisdiction and states' rights and all this kind of thing. So, great guy. A lot of fun. Extremely knowledgeable. You do not want to miss next week's show. Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, the second hour of the Shooting Bench will be devoted to this man and those issues. So I hope you can join us for that. All right, we'll see you in the morning. Thank you.
This has been The Shooting Bench with Cope Reynolds of Southwest Shooting Authority.